is the Las Vegas VP's Second Helping Food Podcast. I'm Genevieve, and I'm here with Leslie and Brock, and we're happy to be back bringing you this monthly podcast after taking a break in April. Just like everybody else, we had to adjust to these strange new circumstances, staying home and staying safe and social distancing and doing our best to take care of ourselves and our loved ones during this crisis. Also, just like everybody else, we've been cooking more than ever before, and we've got some helpful tips and info from a couple of Las Vegas chefs in this episode. Leslie, I know that you've definitely been working on your kitchen skills during the quarantine. How's it going?
I would say it's going pretty well. Before the whole pandemic happened, I signed up for HelloFresh. And so I'd already like incorporated that into my weekly routine. And then when the pandemic hit, it ended up being kind of perfect because they were still delivering everything to my home. And so I have like a fresh meal that I can prepare, two fresh meals that I can prepare every week. And I've kind of done this hack where I bounce around because there's so many different meal services that do this. And they all offer like an entry week at a discount. So I'm kind of just signing up for all of them and like staggering my options. So I'm getting like these discounted meals kind of every week or so. So yeah, it's been really good. And the recipes are really tasty. So I can't complain.
I was going to say, do you have a favorite HelloFresh entree that's like head and shoulders above everything else?
I mean, it's weird because like I thought that I liked HelloFresh more. I also kind of stopped eating meat during all of this. I will like occasionally I'll eat something, but I'm not making meat products at home. And so HelloFresh, I was making a lot of meat at first before the pandemic. And then I got Green Chef, and the meals are lighter and healthier. So also like not really as fun, but I actually have gotten into them. And, what did I make the other night? I made, like a shrimp noodle bowl. I am eating fish. So yeah, I had like a shrimp noodle bowl that turned out really good. And you know, for the most part, they're all pretty quick. I'd say they all take at least under an hour, and some are as quick as 30 minutes. So, yeah, shrimp noodle bowl, flatbreads. I made like a flatbread pizza. That was HelloFresh, and that was bomb. That was actually probably my favorite thing. So yeah. Genevieve, I know you've tried the meal services. Do you like
them? I did. I was the only one I've actually ever tried was Blue Apron. Mm. And I really, really liked it. But after a while it was, I was working, I was in the office, and sometimes the meals would pile up and I won't have time to cook it that night. I mean, you only get like three meals a week, but sometimes I didn't have time. But now I probably will have a very different perspective now that I'm home all the time. But I've actually been just cooking, you know, on our own for all these weeks, and it's been going okay. But I gotta say, I'm sort of nearing the end of the, you know, I've mined that well for quite a bit now. So I'm reaching a little bit of the end, but maybe it'll change now that it's warmer. I might be able to do like lighter things, you know. Mm-hmm. And
you guys are getting some kitchen fatigue, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. I know you got into bread baking, Genevieve.
Yes.
And I would love to hear a little bit about that because I keep trying. I'm like, today you're going to make bread. And then I never do.
That is actually the best part so far of my quarantine cooking. Since Leslie, you know this, there's no yeast available in the stores, or if you find them, it's like they're gone immediately. So I did a starter, a sourdough starter. The first one I did not turn out. Like, it just didn't work out. So I did a second starter batch, and I used Nancy Silverton's recipe. She has this thing called the La Brea bread baking. Her recipe for a starter was actually quite easy. Very different from any other starter recipe I'd read, where you use grapes and you ferment them. I gotta say, it was very stinky for a while. I mean, think about like sour fermented grapes with flour and water for 7 days on your counter.
That's fascinating.
It's amazing to watch this thing grow. Like I literally like would work and I would put my starter jar next to my computer just so I could see it grow. It was really cool. And after 7 days, actually 11 days, I had this super healthy starter and I've made amazing things with it, including a sourdough loaf. Just this weekend, I made pancakes out of it. I'm not a pancake person, but my son really loves pancakes. And these were the best pancakes I've ever had. Like incredible, like soft and tender and just tasty. And think of all the probiotics in it. Because yeah. you have something fermented.
I have to ask you though. So like you made the starter from grapes, fermenting grapes.
Yep.
That flavor doesn't translate into whatever product you're making?
Nope. All it is it releases, it attracts all this wild yeast that's all over your house and all over the environment. And basically it just grows and grows. Like, and then you have all this bacteria, good bacteria. And the grapes just kind of help the process along. It creates alcohol. Fermented alcohol. Like if you were making hooch, if you were in prison, this is what you would be doing. So if you want starter, I've got plenty. They just need a little feeding every day. You put it in the fridge if you don't want to feed it. But I'm going to remember the starter as my quarantine starter or my pandemic starter, because you can keep it forever, really, as long as you feed it a little bit of flour and water every day.
That's so strange. Like hearing about eating this thing.
I feel like 20 years from now, I'll be making a sourdough loaf and I'll think of the pandemic. Because this is when this thing was born, during a pandemic. So I don't know. I think that sounds kind of cool. Not the pandemic, obviously, but something coming out of the pandemic.
That sounds super cool. I might have to get some of that starter. I've had one baking mishap since this started.
You guys come by and get some. I've got them in jars. They're good to go. They're really, and it's super healthy. Like the starter is super healthy. And this is an interesting thing. You've probably heard some people keep their starters for years, sometimes over 100 years. It's passed on from, you know, mothers and grandmothers. But I didn't know this, that a 100-year-old starter makes the exact same bread as something that was made, you know, 2 weeks ago. But the most interesting thing about sourdough starters is that it takes on the DNA of whoever is making it. So there's a little bit of your DNA mixed into it. I don't know if that freaks out people, but
it's freaking me out. Cool. I don't like it. I feel like my bread's gonna eat me. I don't like it.
It's the circle of life, Leslie. Pretty great.
What about you, Brock? What have you been making?
I love to cook, as you know. So I was excited about like just having more time to cook and come up with meals and recipes that I wanted to try. I've kind of leaned more into like making comfort food and old family recipes and stuff like that. I haven't really tried very many new dishes as I thought that I would, but I'm also really bad about following recipes. So it's easier for me to just call my mom and say, "Hey, how do you make the stewed chicken and spinach with coconut milk that grandma used to make?" than it is to find a recipe for something. But
will you give me that recipe? That sounds really good.
I will give you that recipe.
I'm not really eating meat. I might break it for that.
Well, if you just have the spinach and coconut milk, you'll be fine. That's kind of the best part.
Maybe we should put all our recipes together on some sort of like pandemic cookbook. Our second helping.
Pandemic.
Second helping pandemic cookbook.
I like it.
I feel like I'm going to have to start working harder if I'm going to find anything as good as your bread that you've been
eating. I've eaten so much bread and I don't even feel bad about it. I'm like, but there definitely is a big difference when you eat homemade bread versus store-bought bread. Mm-hmm. It digests differently. It doesn't feel heavy. And you know, there's all kinds of science behind it, which I don't really know. But it definitely feels better for your body. And, you know.
Well, there's no crazy preservatives or anything in it because
right.
You don't have any.
Right.
I just can't bake. I can't bring myself to bake. No matter what I bake, I screw it up. I screwed up some chocolate chip cookies the other day. I got a craving for just like, you know, very regular, like Toll House classic chocolate chip cookies. And I was like, okay.
What? How can you mess that up?
Right. Well, let me tell you, Jay. So I don't have any chocolate chips, but that's okay because I have like really good dark chocolate in bar form. So I'm just going to chop that up and use it. No problem. You're supposed to use little chopped nuts, and I don't have that, but I have like roasted peanuts, which I love. So I chop those up. And then it gets complicated because I'm in the pantry and there's like 2 cups of all-purpose flour left in the whole house. So I'm like, well, I know I'm going to mess these cookies up. So I'm not going to waste the good flour on disaster cookies because somehow I'm going to mess them up. So I use a variety of other flours that I have. I used a little bit of cake flour. I used a little bit of coconut flour, which I didn't know existed or that we had some. And I used this flour that my mom gave me, which is like white wheat flour. Obviously, I should have just stuck to one flour because the texture of these cookies was just bizarre. It was like kind of spongy and kind of grainy. And
you made Frankenstein cookies.
Yeah. I told you, I can't follow recipes. I don't know.
Well, you literally didn't use a single thing in recipe.
No, I used butter. I did the butter.
You know what
right.
You know what I do with my chocolate chip cookies is I make like 2 batches instead of one, and then I roll it in a log and like different little logs, and I keep it in the freezer. Anytime I want chocolate chip cookies, I just slice up that log and I put it. I have cookies anytime I want. I have like 3 logs right now.
You've got all the solutions that I need.
Yeah, because you don't want to be making a fresh batch of cookies every time the mood strikes. I mean, you know, that's a lot of work. If you don't have flour, you might end up, you know, cobbling together different flours. You don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I do think it's kind of cool that, you know, not only are we all, everybody's cooking, but like everybody's talking about cooking. And I think sharing recipes more and sharing cookie horror stories more and whatever happens because like this is just it's happening to everybody. So to me, it's kind of cool that we can share these things with each other. And it's just good to know that everybody else is going through the same weird stuff at the same time.
Definitely.
Right.
So yeah, like I've been calling my mom for family recipes, and I know other friends in the foodie world in Las Vegas who are calling their friends who are chefs at restaurants to get some cooking advice, if not specific recipes. And Leslie, you just had a conversation with a chef from a strip restaurant recently, right?
Yeah, I did. I phoned up Chef Jamal Taherzadeh, who is the executive chef over at Libertine Social at the Mandalay Bay. And he's doing something interesting. He has an adorable daughter. She's like 5, and he's been doing these Instagram videos where he incorporates her into, you know, the kitchen and the cooking and everything, and they cook together. So I just wanted to really reach out and talk to him about what he was doing, you know, why he decided to do this on Instagram. And what really got me actually was, he made a Basque cheesecake, and yeah, it looked so good. And the difference, I guess, in a Basque cheesecake, which, I mean, when you listen to the interview, you'll hear it, but regular cheesecake, you don't bake it. And I've never made a cheesecake, so I didn't know this.
You know, I've never made a cheesecake.
Yeah, but you don't have to bake it. So there you go. Maybe you should try it next time. But with a Basque cheesecake, you do bake it. So the consistency comes out very different from what you'd expect from a standard cheesecake. So that looks really good. He has the demo still up on his Instagram. And you can just check that out, kind of like follow all the steps on his Instagram and cook along with him. So yeah, the conversation I thought turned out pretty good.
first off, the most important question is, how are you doing during all of this? It's a strange time.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm doing as well as one can be doing. Yeah, everybody's happy and healthy and doing well.
Oh, that's good. I know we actually pushed our interview so that you could hike with your family yesterday, which is a way better thing. How was that?
It was great. We went to Carpenter Canyon, which is near Pahrump. So,
okay.
Yeah, so it's like a 40-minute drive from Vegas, and then another, I don't know, maybe hour or so off-road that leads to like this really, really amazing creek. And like as the snow's falling or melting off the mountains, there's the creek's like really, really full, and there's all these pools and stuff like that. So it's certainly you're isolated and far away from other people, and it's really beautiful. It's hard to believe that that's something so beautiful is so close.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That sounds lovely. I know before quarantine, I was hiking a lot and then just kind of, you know, disappointed that Red Rock and everything were closing. So I might have to go check that out. And that, you know, leads me to my next question, which is why we're talking here today. You know, it's a struggle to balance, you know, life as usual, to try to create some sense of normalcy for yourself, but also for your kids. And so the thing that I thought was really cool was that you were doing these cooking demos, incorporating your children into them. And so I just wanted to start off by asking you, you know, why did you decide to do that and put it on Instagram?
You know, I wouldn't say I necessarily decided to put on cooking videos. It was more the result of my daughter, who's five, almost six, always watching YouTube. And she like would get on cooking shows, or she had seen me on Chopped. So she kind of really encouraged me to do it. But I think more so than anything, it started with the Sparrow and Wolf Challenge, where they, you know, challenge people to do a cocktail, which my wife did. And I made an appearance, yeah, that's kind of how it started. And then we showed my daughter the video, and then she wanted to do more videos and see more videos. And then also it's just, you know, I think a lot of times people run out of ideas. Like we run out of ideas, you know, and you need simple things to cook or little tricks or hacks to kind of, you know, make something a little bit better quality than you're used to. And I think a lot of chefs have those little tips that they can offer people, and especially when everybody's cooking at home so much, you know, something to make your meal a little bit more enjoyable.
Absolutely. Do your kids normally help you in the kitchen?
Yeah, they do. They're into cooking. I think kids in general are just, if a parent is really, really into something or really, you know, shows some passion for something, they naturally kind of levitate towards it. It's nothing that's forced on them. Yeah, they definitely always want to be in the kitchen and always want to be, you know, around, certainly if it's sweets too, if we're making cookies or something.
Oh, that's great. I'm wondering, since you have been on Chopped, you know, does that make you, that experience make you more comfortable kind of in front of the camera? Some people, you know, they put on Instagram Live and it's just super awkward, but you seem to have a really good presence already. So do you think that helped at all?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. I still think I'm super awkward on TV, but, yeah, you know, I don't know. I think it's more just being comfortable around, you know, I don't think you necessarily worry about the camera. It's just, I'm just kind of hanging out with my kids, you know, so I don't really think about how it comes across or how I look. But yeah, you know, after I've been cooking for 10 years when I worked for Carrie Simon, I always did a ton of TV with him kind of as his like helper. So he was so natural and gifted at it. And I probably being exposed to that helped me more than anything.
So let's talk a little bit about this cheesecake that you made. I know it's a Basque cheesecake. How does that differ from a regular cheesecake?
The cooking process is what's different. So I did get a lot of messages on my Instagram of people asking, so it's not Basque style cheese? No, no, it's not. So it's like just a basic cheesecake recipe. But then as far as baking the cheesecake, you kind of break all the cheesecake rules. So if you were to, you know, if you went to culinary school and they taught you how to make cheesecake, it was a low temperature, put it into a water bath because you want it to cook slow. It's a very, like, gentle, delicate process. As with the Basque cheesecake, it's the opposite. You toss it right into the oven with a super high temperature, no water bath, because you want the convection and the heat to heat the outside of the pan, so that conducts heat and the outside of it gets like charred and burnt and provides a little bit of texture. So the goal of the cheesecake is it's not like supposed to be a light, fluffy cheesecake. It's you want it to be like the consistency of like a really, really great triple cream cheese.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. Oh my gosh. Another thing that I found interesting was, I think your last post on Instagram, it was something about a family recipe called That Kind of Breakfast, which I thought was just really fun and interesting. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah. So That Kind of Breakfast. So my dad was a chef. He owns like a little snack shop and stuff like that, but went to culinary school. He had like a like whole library of VHS tapes of early Food Network that he recorded. And he still to this day, like, you know, you say hollandaise and he can just like recite you a recipe, you know,
oh my gosh.
He just has it all memorized, as opposed to chefs now that, you know, probably keep it in a notebook or on a phone or something like that. So, yeah, he has like this Rolodex of recipes. And he and my uncle as well, who also cooked, they would make, something called That Kind of Breakfast. And anytime the family all got together or had a sleepover in the morning, we would have That Kind of Breakfast, and they would just toast, white or sourdough bread in a toaster, then make like a real simple bechamel, add, green onions and hard boiled eggs to it. And just spoon that over the bread. So the bread's like crispy and soggy at the same time. And we all loved it. It was like incredible.
And that sounds so good.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I, you know, like my, you know, my cousins and my sister and my brother, they still make it all the time, for their kids and stuff like that. But I had never made it for my kids. And, I had been making sourdough, and so I saw the beautiful sourdough and I was like, oh, I'll make them That Kind of Breakfast. So I made it for my kids and they loved it.
Oh, good, good, good. Do you have any advice for people who want to cook more during quarantine but don't really know where to start?
You know, I would say, as with anything, my wife does it. She puts too much pressure on herself to like make things perfect. And you have to realize that, like, you know, I just mentioned making sourdough. Like, the first time I made sourdough, it was horrible. Like, I still make loaves that I look at and I'm like, what the hell happened there? So it's all about repetition and eating your mistakes and, you know, getting better through trial and error. So, you know,
definitely.
I think the biggest things to remember when cooking at home are, do things simply. You know, don't try to do too much the first time and just try to get the little things down. Like if you're making, you know, chicken, just try to cook the chicken properly. Don't worry too much about like how you're marinating it or funky cooking processes, or, you know, just understand like what the proper done temperature of what it is that you're trying to cook, and, you know, presenting it simply.
Right.
Repetition. Don't let perfection be the enemy of just something good.
Yeah. You need it to be edible.
Especially
yeah. Right now. That's the focus. What's next for you? For, you know, are we going to be seeing, you know, more recipes from you on Instagram?
Yeah, you know, with the Instagram stuff, I try to make it, like, very approachable. Like, I was going to do the sourdough, but the reality is it's, like, you know, it's like 2 weeks of getting the starter and feeding it. And, you know, like, I started feeding mine twice a day, and that's a huge investment. And just, like, buying a bunch of flour that you're not even really using. I don't know. I mean, I've been doing pizzas a lot, so maybe I'll do pizzas. You know, but honestly, I think if I'm going to do something else, it'll probably be more desserts with my daughter. We make like these, salted, chocolate chip cookies, that again, I think that you can just like, it has nothing to do with the recipe. It's all about like how you bake it. And then this little trick of, so like, okay, when I first, back to trial and error. So when I used to make cookies when I first started cooking, they would always be super like fluffy and cakey, which I didn't want. I wanted like a dense, like chewy, crunchy on the edge cookie. And the trick to that is, so again, it doesn't matter, like just get a chocolate chip cookie recipe, but right when they come out of the oven and they're puffy, you take like a little rocks glass, spray it with like some Pam or like whatever olive oil spray or something to kind of lube the bottom of the glass, and you just press down the center of the cookie, and that makes it that super dense, chewy, but crunchy on the edge texture. And then right after do that, we sprinkle with a little bit of good sea salt. So it's like people are like, oh, best cookie recipe, but it's not necessarily about like the cookie recipe. It's more about the technique.
Right, right. Oh, I had no idea. I'm definitely going to have to do that next time I make cookies.
We're entering our 8th week of the lockdown, and that means most of us have probably been cooking just about every meal at home with the occasional takeout here and there. Out of sheer necessity, I've expanded my repertoire of dishes, but I have to admit I'm running out of ideas fast. Thank goodness for our ever-so-creative local culinary community. Several chefs in town are offering a cook-along where you pick up a meal kit from their restaurant and cook part of the meal at home. Not to be confused with meal services like Blue Apron or HelloFresh, where you get the ingredients in a box and you do all the chopping, dicing, and cooking yourself, these local cooking kits just need a little bit of finishing, which means that whether you're a seasoned pro or a novice in the kitchen, the margin of error is very small, and the rewards are very great. James Trees, owner and chef of Esther's Kitchen Downtown and Ada's at Tivoli Village, recently launched his cook-along series. Here's how it works. You order a kit through secretburger.com. Each kit comes with a house-made sourdough bread, a salad course, a pasta course, and dessert. Chef James then does a live stream on Facebook and Instagram to show you how to put everything together. I joined in the fun on the first week of the series. We started with unpacking all the little containers of sauces and condiments and lining up the ingredients for our courses. The first was a chopped salad, and Chef showed us a nice technique for how to dress it properly. Meanwhile, we had a spicy Calabrian sausage ragu in the stove, which is then paired with house-made rigatoni and finished with mascarpone and parsley. The homemade sourdough bread, just like the kind you get when you dine at Esther's, was a nice accompaniment and a nice reminder of what it's like to eat there. It was paired with garlic butter with anchovies and a really, really good beet conserva. There was an optional meatball add-on, and dessert was a salted caramel budino, which was incredibly easy to put together and just so delicious. Preparing the whole meal from start to finish took less than 30 minutes, and it was terrific. Here's a little snippet of Chef James as we finished cooking.
What you do is you stir your pot. Shake the pan a little bit and stir it. See how it's just lightly coating everything? There's a lot of chili in here, a lot of chili oil from our good friend, the Nduya. So that funk is in there, you have all the love, right? At this point, you're going to want to taste the pasta, because if you need salt, you need salt. If you need pepper, you need pepper. Your seasoning's up to you. It's pretty delicious. So, same this. See how this is like starting to come together, where the pasta and the sauce look like the same thing? You can't see the pasta, you can't see the sauce, it's dressed. That is the way that I learned how to dress pasta. And so now we're going to turn the heat off. Pan's still hot, and then we'll mascarpone. The mascarpone is like fancy Italian cream cheese, but really it's like thickened cream. And you're just going to kind of shake and stir it. It's going to kind of give this velvety texture to the pasta. It's going to remind you of what's our good friend in New Jersey, penne alla vodka. Alright? So, see that? See how the pasta and the sauce are the same thing? There's not going to be a pool of sauce here. There's not going to be anything crazy like that. This is just properly dressed pasta. If you can learn how to do this, you can make cacio e pepe, you can make carbonara, you can make all the classics. It's all about not overdoing it. Americans use too much sauce. They use too much everything, right? So right here, we're just going to slide this onto a plate. Very technical stuff, right? Boom, 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 boom. I feel like we have a winner here, but we'll see. So, next thing you're going to do, very technical, shake it down, right? Get a spoon. We'll use fresh brand new spoon for fancy garnish. And this is ricotta salata and chiffonade parsley. And you're just going to put this over the top, right? Usually we'd be shaving this on and finishing things right in the window. Everyone who's been to the restaurant has seen this many, many times. They watch us basically break our arm every day putting cheese on things. Guys, the reason why we put cheese on things, it's because cheese is basically cocaine, right? Let's think about it, right? It's salt, fat, and happy, and all of a sudden, and I don't know what the time is now because I haven't been paying attention, but we have a four-course meal on the table, ready to go, and you guys get to eat it now, which is kind of awesome.
A couple of things to note. Get your kitchen ready by clearing the counters and getting the pots and pans you'll need out. Organization was key, I thought. Chef makes it look really easy in the live stream, and it is, but make it even easier on yourself by having all your equipment out in a row. There's a little bit of multitasking involved and the instructions go pretty fast. If you frequent Esther's, these flavors will be very familiar to you. Everything was spot on, and the best part was following along on the live stream and reading people's comments in the scroll. Overall, it was a fun and tasty experience, and it got me out of my home cooking rut. But it definitely made me feel a little more accomplished than if I'd simply called for takeout. It's perfect for making with a partner or with kids, or you can even make it for a special occasion, which is what I did. It just happened that this was my birthday dinner. One final thing. These dinners, which take place on Wednesdays, sell out fast, like within hours of being on sale on Secret Burger. Check there on Thursdays, as that's when they're announced. Dinners run around $60 for two, but I found that there was plenty of leftovers for the next day. So check it out and happy cooking.
So we've been in quarantine for how long? Is it 2 months now?
Yep, 2 months.
Oh my God. Okay. So I'm curious, Genevieve, what is the best thing that you've had in April, that you ate in April?
So I've only done takeout one time this whole time in the last 8 weeks. So a lot of the, you know, all my meals I've made, all our meals, the best thing I've actually eaten is it just happened a couple of weeks ago. Every Friday, my son and I usually do Pizza Friday. And I've been kind of trying to come up with the best pizza crust. And I think I hit the nail on the head with this last recipe. The crust was really good. I did a whole bunch of different flours like you brought. I did bread flour, all-purpose flour, and wheat flour, and a little bit of cornmeal in the pan. And the pizza turned out really, really well. And that was probably the best thing I ate last month in April. I will definitely be making it again. I just used fresh mozzarella, which I actually got at Costco. And then I used pepperoni and tomato sauce. For me, it's always the crust. And the crust was always so tricky to get because it was like mushy or like I couldn't, you know, make it right. But then I think I hit on this right formula of the three different flours. And the crust is exactly how I like it. And I also put like a lot of garlic powder in it. So it's very garlicky tasting. It was delicious. So how about you, Brock?
So we had we were doing a video chat with some friends of ours that live in Sacramento and talking to them and their two little girls. And we were reminiscing on this vacation that we went on together years ago. We went to Hawaii and we stayed in a little rental house on the North Shore and Oahu. And it was obviously a fantastic trip. And we were just like, oh, we can't wait until we can do that again. And remember when we ate this, of course, all of our trips are all about food and what we ate. So we were like, remember this, remember that chocolate halpia pie that we kept getting from Ted's Bakery and eating for breakfast. So we decided that our next call, we were going to have a dinner and we were going to cook the same things or close to the same things. And that we were both going to try to make that chocolate halpia pie. and have that together via video for dessert. So we did it and it was a lot of fun. And I didn't make the pie, of course. That would have been a terrible mistake. So my wife made the pie and it came out beautifully. But what I made, because I wanted to have spam musubi, that classic kind of junk food snack that you get at Hawaiian plate lunch restaurants all over Vegas and all over Hawaii. And, but I didn't want to actually try to make it, you know, it's just rice and spam wrapped up in nori, but I knew I wouldn't be able to like make it look the way it's supposed to look. So I improvised and I made like spam musubi rice. So I fried up some little cubes of spam and chopped up some scallions, mixed that together with steamed rice and sprinkled a bunch of nori strips on top of it. And I put, there was some oyster sauce involved too. It was awesome. I wish I could eat that every day. That's not good for you. That's too much spam. But it came out so good. I couldn't believe that I did it.
I love spam. I never buy it because like...
Me neither.
it's just a, you know, not a good path to go down on, but it is so delicious with rice. My mom used to make spam and she'd coat it in like scrambled eggs, or like you coat it in egg and then you fry it. So it's spam coated in egg. And we eat it with rice. Mm. It's so good. I never make it for myself, like ever as an adult, but I remember eating that when I was a kid.
Leslie, it's your turn. What is your best thing you ate this last month?
The best thing I ate is something that I've been trying to perfect. I decided to make soba noodles the other day, I guess like a week and a half ago. And just on my first try, they were so good. So I've had soba noodles now like 3 times in the last week. And I just threw together, it's probably not like... you know, authentic at all. I know it's not authentic, but I threw together soy sauce, rice wine vinegar, meat oil, and made the sauce with that. And then I have some, what else did I throw in there? Scallions, pickled garlic is a good thing to add. Ooh. I've been buying kimchi from the store every time I go. So threw some kimchi. And then just like whatever vegetables, obviously like cabbage would be best, radish. And then I don't cook the vegetables. I just like throw them into the noodles and they kind of like soften up a little bit, but still have a really good crunch. And top it with sesame seeds and that's it. And it's like the most refreshing meal ever because the noodles are cold and I keep experimenting with it and like wanting to add new things or like, you know, tweak the sauce a little bit. Like I realized I don't like a ton of rice wine vinegar in mine and I'm definitely big on like the sesame oil. So just playing with it and probably I'll look up some recipes sometime soon so I can make it taste even better. That's my favorite thing that I've had this month.
That sounds really good.
That sounds great. Yeah. I'm perfect timing too, because we're all like cooking these kind of heartier dishes, I think, because we're searching for a little bit more comfort in our home cooking. And then all of a sudden it's 100 degrees in April. So it's time to shift gears.
Exactly. I really just needed something like fresh and refreshing. And that's what I was saying before we started the podcast. I'm going to plug something real quick, but I signed up for a Daily Harvest subscription and it's like frozen fruits and smoothies and stuff directly to your door. And it's like vegan and organic and all that stuff. And it's just been so nice to incorporate that into my week because yeah, of course, like once in a while I'm going to break down and order a pizza, but it's really nice to have like fresh things to go to when it's so hot already.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, I'm glad that we could do this again, you guys. It's great to see your faces on the Zoom and have another chat about food. And
yeah,
I missed you on the month that we didn't do this. So I'm glad that we're doing it again.
Yeah, it was fun. Definitely do this again if we're not back in the office by next month, which we probably won't be.
That's going to do it for this episode of Second Helping. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you did, you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, and you can find past episodes there or at LasVegasWeekly.com. Of course, we have to thank Sonia Barcelona for contributing her song Violent Water to our show. You can listen to more of her music at artofsonia.com. And hey, don't forget to follow Chef Jamal Taherzadeh on Instagram at Chef J-T-A-H-E-R. And then you can follow along with all those great cooking lessons with Jamal and his family. And of course, you can check out the possibility of cooking along with some of Vegas's favorite chefs like James Trees at Esther's Kitchen through those online options at secretburger.com. Hit the site on Thursdays when new events are announced. If you're patronizing your favorite local restaurants these days for takeout or delivery, you'll want to check out the long list of restaurants offering those services at LasVegasWeekly.com. Just click on the Takeout Guide tab at the top of the page. We're publishing that free listing for local restaurants in the physical magazine every week as well. And if you'd like to add a local business to that directory, please send an email to restaurants@gmgvegas.com. Finally, we know these are tough times for everyone, and we hope you're staying home and staying safe and that you're able to take care of your loved ones. If you're able to give a little bit more, consider visiting our Three Square Food Bank at threesquare.org to make a donation, the Salvation Army of Southern Nevada at salvationarmysouthernnevada.org, the Share Village, also known as Veterans Village, at sharelasvegas.org, or the new program Delivering with Dignity at deliveringwithdignitylv.org. Thanks again for listening. We're excited to bring you another episode of Second Helping next month. Take care.